life. That's who you are, Lord. We don't sing about you, we sing to you. You are hope, joy, love, peace, and life. That's who you are. We celebrate you today. We come into communion with you today, God. We come into fellowship apart today, God. In greater ways, in greater depth, in greater understanding. Because you are our hope. You're our joy, God. We love you. We're in love with you. You're our peace, your life, you're our salvation. You're everything that we desire. Everything. All hope is found in you. All joy is found in you. All love, all peace, all life. Answers to everything is found in you, Jesus. Everything is about you, Jesus, from the beginning to the end. We thank you, Lord. There's nothing too small for you. There's nothing too big for you. You're the beginning. You're the end. You're the center. You're everything, God. Wow. We thank you for your presence here. We thank you for your angels here. Yes, Lord. Oh, it's about you, Jesus. It's about you. Our answers are found in you, God. All stress falls off when we're in your presence, God. No matter how hard, no matter how challenging. Because you are the stress remover. You are the sickness remover. You are the sadness remover. You are the discouragement remover. You are the hopelessness remover. You are the blind eye remover. Our vision is in you. Because you are truth, because you're the way, and because you are the life. Our righteousness is in you. And joy and peace and love and grace. There's nothing better than you, Jesus. Nothing better. Nothing better. Nothing better. Nothing better. Just close your eyes and say nothing better. And speak to him. Just tell him there's nothing better than you. There's no one greater than you. Just lift up your voice and celebrate him this morning. Jesus, you're everything. I love you, Jesus. I'm in love with you, Jesus. It's about you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You're not an idea. You're not a principle. You're not a thought. You're everything. You are more than the universe. You're the creator of all. Everything by you, for you, from you, through you, and to you. Your life everlasting. You're the resurrection, God. Jesus, we can't stop celebrating you. We can't stop talking about you. We just love you. We leap for joy in your presence, God. Because there's no one, no one, no one, no one. No fear can hold you, Jesus. And no fear can hold us as we're anchored in you. Jesus, we love you. Thank you, Jesus. Can we give him a big shout this morning to Jesus? We love you, Jesus. It's about you, Jesus. Come on. Wow, what an awesome opportunity to be here. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Wow, this is a day of celebration.
There's nothing better. There's nothing better than the very presence of Jesus and the living bread that he offers us. I had a vision one time, and it was actually while I was sleeping. I call it a vision because it actually happened, right? I'm sleeping, and I'm right there with Jesus. And he has a piece of his flesh in between his fingers. And in the dream, I looked down at his fingers, and the flesh that he had taken off wasn't like if I ripped off a piece of flesh, it would be dead now. But his flesh was alive. I looked at it closely, and it was living. It was moving. It was alive. And then he took that, and he put it in my mouth. And as soon as he put it in my mouth, I felt it dissolve into my entire being. And I woke up feeling that. That's why I say it was actually happening. This morning, we're going to have communion. These elements, this bread is not alive. This juice is not alive. But Jesus' presence is alive, and he's right here with us. There's There's a passage of scripture I want to share with you, and it's one you're all familiar with. Thank you, Jesus. You're so good. God is taking us into a brand new place this morning. And I say that because he's made a shift and a transition in my heart. And it was a big one. It cost a lot. This comes out of Mark 11, 24, 25. Therefore, I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them. He's referring about healing here. But let's connect this to his healing presence, his flesh that's alive. And they will be granted you. Wherever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father in heaven, who is in heaven, will forgive you your transgressions. Jesus is calling us into remembrance. He's calling us in to remember what he did. Not just what he did, but who he is. Because oftentimes in our memory, the memory is no longer alive. What he did on the cross sometimes is no longer alive. He's calling us into remembrance of what he did. But he's calling us in remembrance to who he is. There's two words that I want to point out. The words are perception and offense. I didn't think these words were connected until I looked at their definitions. This is the definition for perception. It's a noun. It's a state of being or process of becoming aware of something through your senses. And I believe it's in Hebrews that says, exercise your senses, make them mature, so that you'll know how to determine what's good and evil. A word right now that's going around a lot in our body is good or best, better or best, good or best, okay? The way I translate that passage in Hebrews is there are things put in front of us that are dead or they're the living flesh of Jesus. We can do them and walk through life normally and just not be alive, not be fully alive. Or we can step into his best and be fully alive. And as a body, I think we need that. I need that. I need that. Now check this out. The word offense, by definition, is an annoyance or resentment brought about by a perceived insult. Catch the word perceived. And an annoyance or resentment brought about by a perceived insult. Or disregard for oneself or one standard or principle. Perceived insult. Jesus this morning is asking us to have and allow our... He's asking us to exercise. He's asking us to step in and become a part of something that's greater than us. I can't go to the gym and just keep doing the same exercise over and over again and expect to grow. Can I? I can't. I can't stay at home and think about going to the gym and actually grow in strength. I have to go and do things that I've never done before. Some of those things are things I don't want to do. Some of those things are things I'm not called to do. I have no passion for, I have no dream for, I have no vision for. Yet he's asking me, will you do them anyway? Will you step into those things that even though you don't want to do them, will you step into them anyway? If you do, I have grace for you, and it's totally sufficient. I have flesh in between my fingers that I'm ready to put inside of your mouth to make you alive. I want to imprint my being inside of you so that you can do this. I have rounded a corner in my life, and it's such a necessary place because I was losing ground fast. I was sinking. And I was sinking by my own decisions. But I've rounded a corner and come to a place in my life where it's, Jesus, I've got to have your living flesh in me. And you all know that his living flesh is his word. And he's asking us to become a part of something that's bigger than ourselves. I don't think we have any problem with that in this body, because we have lots of opportunities to become a part of something that's greater than ourselves. And in doing so, we get to become part of a living body. That's what I love about this house. We're a living body. We're alive. We're live together. We bear each other's burdens. We lift each other up. We help sharpen each other. We help each other through the words that are difficult. We help each other through the perceived insults or those words that are just so hard to receive that you just don't know what to do with them. And inside you're like, ugh. God says, I have flesh that I want to put inside of your mouth, my words. And it'll help you through those words that you perceive. I say that for a reason. Because Jesus said, before you take these elements, before you remember me, let me pull up remembrance. The word remembrance, it's the action of remembering something. However, it's a flash of understanding or remembrance passed between them. So Jordan, if you and I are sharing, if we have a remembrance, it's something that's happening between us. If there's a significant moment that you and I shared, and it's powerful between us, there's a flash of memory, but it's alive. A remembrance is something that's alive. You keep it alive. But when we remember the body of Christ, when we remember what he did, these elements are to allow us a position to have a flash or a memory. Synapses firing inside of your brain, sending electrical impulses into your body. I remember what you did for me. I remember that moment you took me out of darkness and set me into light. That's what we're doing this morning. So when he asks us, if you have any offense against somebody, if you have a perceived insult, he's asking us, will you make an exchange with a true perception? Will you do that this morning? So as you gauge out your hearts, life is sometimes complex, but the word of God is simple. Walking out this life is simple because he makes it simple. So as you're preparing your hearts this morning to receive and remember, just simply make that exchange in your hearts first. And if you have to go to somebody, go to them. There's grace there. Jesus, I just thank you for your words. I thank you that you start at a heart level. That I have to guard my heart with all diligence because out of it flows the issues of life. But out of the innermost part of my being flows rivers of living water. God, I guard my heart and I release the rivers of living water. And I thank you, God, that you've made a way for us to come be and pass through the veil of your flesh to receive the living flesh broken from your side. And that river that flows out of your side that is life, teeming with life. God, I thank you for what you're doing in this body. I thank you for the destiny that you called us into, that you are passing us into, and then for the many turns that you're making in many of us. God, I thank you that there's better days ahead of us because you're taking us to a higher place. I welcome you to come up and receive and remember. Amen.
Is alive, Jesus. You're alive. You're alive, Jesus. And in that deep place, that innermost chamber, Lord, you know what's there. You know what's there. You know what's still there. You know. But we just elevate your name and we thank you for the work in our hearts this morning. Thank you, Lord, that walls are coming down, that barriers are being removed. Stumbling blocks are being eradicated because you want us to succeed in you, Jesus. You're changing us, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. it's growing us up into all things in Him. And I believe that He's accelerating His process for us as we humble ourselves, as we go lower in Him, whatever that looks like, whatever that means. We're always asking Him, Jesus, what does that mean? So this morning, we just say thank you, Jesus, for your power and your anointing here, God. We thank you that you are the healer. You're the restorer of the breach. Lord, how can we go and restore others if we have these areas that are not restored in us to the degree that you would be able to release us? With you, all things are possible, Lord. And when we ask you, it shall be done. Father, I'm just so grateful for the word that Peter gave where he turned a corner. Lord, I thank you that when we turn a corner, there's no going back. When we turn a corner, then we're going in a direction that's different than where we were going. So today, Lord, let us declare that we turned that corner because we were going one way and we needed to turn and not just talk about it. We thank you, Lord, for your presence, for your healing power. Father, we just lift up Pastor Shanti, Pastor Prabhaka, same person, whose bone is not healing according to the doctors. His wife's bone, the spine, is healing. So they're telling him he needs surgery. So, Lord, we just lift up Pastor Prabhaka right now, and we say, God, we're calling on heaven as a family, all the way to India. And we're asking, Lord, for you to touch that bone, those bones in his shoulder and arm, and that you would fully restore him, Lord. That you would fully mend the broken parts. And that this would be a supernatural response from heaven because of our response to you here as well, going lower and seeing that there are others in need beyond our own lives and our own heart. Thank you, Jesus. Touch him right now. Let there be a miracle right now. Just release your miracle-working power, God. Miracle-working power from heaven to the hopeless, to those who really need breakthrough, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, all the people that Pastor Jacob is touching are getting healed with cancer and polio. Everything, they're just getting touched and healed as you released him from prison. Lord, we just celebrate that. We praise you, Lord. Thank you. Touch Pastor Prabhaka in the same way. Touch him, Jesus, today. And finish your work in his wife, Sumati, in her spine. Repair her spine. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Do we believe that our Jehovah Rapha, who heals our bodies, heals our hearts too? And do we trust him with that process fully as we do our bodies? These are all the areas of our life here, our natural life on earth, where Jesus wants to rule and reign and take over. We don't make excuses for your power, Jesus. We call on you because we need your power. We need your power to demonstrate how great you are, to demonstrate how big you are, to demonstrate who you are. We can't do that without your power. So Jesus, we thank you for the power infusing us this morning. Thank you for your angels in our midst this morning. They're here. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, can you put up the Jesus' stone? Just turn the picture, the lights out. I want to, before the kids are released, I want you to see something that, children, that I saw. I turn all the lights off, please. And I don't know if you can all see it or not, and I did post it on Facebook because it's just so cool. But that great day where it was 70 something, some people said 76 degrees. Was that nuts? I loved it. Anyway, we praise God for everything in Ohio. But that was really cool. So that day I drove to my old house I lived in for many, many years, and my sons and I lived there before we had our new family, and they were very small, and we had a new cement sidewalk put in, and if you read it on Facebook, then you know the story, but it was so cool, and I was so excited about it. Life was good, joyful, pleasant, had some, you know, challenges with extended family, but, you know, within the little cocoon, just really good. It was so awesome. And I remember thinking, Jesus, you are so amazing. You are Lord, and I want to know you as Lord. That means king, ruler, guy in charge of me, of my life, of my family, to the best of my ability. That's what I felt. That's what I was thinking. So I went out into the cemented area, or what was drying, actually, the wet cement, with the kids, and took a stick and wrote, can you read it up there? Yeah. What? Jesus is Lord. It was a very long time ago when my kids were small. And I went back once or twice since then, and I've seen, and it was pretty easy to see. But that day of the 76 degrees or so, a couple days ago, I just felt compelled to drive over there. It was just like, go there. And I got out of the car once again and parked there, and I got down like this, and I was looking for it. I couldn't see it very easily at all. It's like, Jesus, I did this. I know it's there, and I know it's not new sidewalk. I can see that. Help me see it. I want to see fully, and I saw things that might have looked like it. So as I was looking, going from one to the next, I was getting close to the front, and the lady who lives in the house was watching this very strange person going like this really slowly, and so she came out and said, hi, can I help you? I said, oh, well, and I told her what I just told you. And she looked at me and I said, I came here a number of years ago. Was that you? Were you the lady? She goes, yeah, I saw you then too. And so she came out and we talked and she goes, I know exactly where it is. I said, you do? Show me. And so I hadn't gone to this one, you know, I hadn't gotten that far. And she said, it's right there. I was like, oh my gosh. But you know what? It was a little weathered. I mean, a lot weathered. And I was looking for something that was looking like the past, but it wasn't the past. But yet it was. Now think about that one. The thought, the memory, just what Peter was saying, how we come into remembrance and all of a sudden you're alive again, there, remembering exactly what you felt like, what you looked like, what was going on, and you're writing this and going, yes, that's my statement, ta-da, for me, and anybody else who would ever walk that path, anybody who would walk, and I thought, I just wonder how many years would go by and how many people would walk up that cement sidewalk and they would see Jesus is Lord. And then when we had our new family and my new kids came in and they saw it out there and it was really visible for Christy and the kids to see and Bill and I to see. And it's changed over all of these years because there's a whole another part of our life that's taken place. And so when I was talking to her, she alluded to this last time, but this time she was really clear. She goes, you know, I did not want to buy this. I wasn't sure what to do with buying this house until I saw that. And so I walked out and I saw that there and I decided that's the house for me. Yeah. I was like, whoa. I mean, it just really, really impacted me. It's like, okay, she wasn't just somebody walking by. She was the one who was going to buy this house, not the one who bought it from me initially, Bill and I. But it was this lady who came in and did this. So cool. And she said, it's really helped me because her life was in big disarray. I don't want to go into her life. You may meet her someday. She can tell you. But God's still working, but just huge disarray. And she saw that. She said, it gave me hope. It's like, yes, this is where I want to be. This is the house I want to be in. And it was just really awesome. So I was just so excited about that and thinking about it as I was preparing for this message this week, going, God, why is this so important? And he says, because I am bringing up the past. And you also know that from that point, I was Lord then, and I'm Lord now. The only thing that has changed is your understanding of how big I am. The only thing has changed. And when you declared, Jesus is Lord, I heard that. I saw that. I remember that. And that was your remembrance. And I raise that up as a mighty standard to raise up the remembrance of Jesus in your life. Jesus as King, as Lord, as first. First. Peter said he turned a corner. That means that he wanted to go a different direction than where he was going in some pretty deep ways. And it prompted a lot of things inside of many of us, I'm sure. Because he was sharing that Jesus said, yep, Peter, I never forgot. And yes, that really is who you are. That really is your heart. That, come on, Peter, let's go. And that's what he's got for us. He's so proud of us. He so believes in us. But he doesn't want to leave us in Pampers or even pull-ups, right? He wants us to be able to be free of all of those things so that as we mature, there are people watching us. There are people looking at our life. There are people wondering, I wonder what Jesus is Lord means to me now when I've seen it, I've heard it, I've watched it from them. So we have a legacy. I just whispered that in my daughter's ear. There's a legacy that we are carving and leaving and preparing that God has planned for our spiritual family, for our natural family. But it has to begin with us. And some of us might have others who are older than us in the family and gone before us, who really, you know, were trailblazers. I didn't have that. Pastor Bill didn't have that. We're the trailblazers in our family. We're the pioneers in our family. And we take it very seriously. And pioneers get smashed and they get hit because the enemy, if he can stop a pioneer, oh, what happens? What happens to that legacy? So think about that. So God is telling us something. With Jesus as Lord, when we sing it, dance it, talk about it, high-five it, whatever it is, he's so serious about that becoming who we are on the inside that everything will change. I want my Judah and Josiah, my grandchildren and my other grandchildren, to see, to be able to walk in grace with the strong will to receive what's been carved out and go way beyond. But it has to go down this line because that's how God designed it. And you know who messes it up? The enemy towards us, and then we embrace his lies. We embrace his lies. And if we embrace his lies, he just smiles going, well, they think they're spiritual enough. They think they've got this. And the legacy is interrupted. That's how strong it is. That's how important it is. So I thank you for being who you are in this place because what God has established as the vision in this house is going to the four corners of the earth. And he is taking all of us who dare to believe and want that, no matter what it takes to get there. He says, let's do this. Let's do this as a family. Let's do this together in our natural families, in our spiritual family here. Because ultimately, boys and girls, little ones, ultimately, when we live for Jesus completely, everything changes, and when he's really Lord, Luke, really King of your life, even at your age, okay, God is telling us that everything will change, and he will take you and me to the ends of the earth for things way bigger than what we've ever seen, asked for, or imagined. But if we think we can do it alone, and we can just do our own little thing, it'll just cause the ship to kind of rock a little bit. We don't want to be rockers of the ship in a way that causes the ship to go in circles. We want to be part of, let's go forward, all in, as Darlene preached a few years ago when we were having a mission training weekend, that we are all in together. It's like in the middle of all the stuff that we have, yes, in the middle of our hurts and offenses and unforgivenesses and resentments and bitternesses and all those kinds of things, yes, because the Lord says, let me grab those out of your stuff so we can move forward together. And when we hear messages that kind of confront that, lean into it, and more of that stuff will be taken off. The baggage that would be on us when we're on this ship together, that baggage will be thrown in the sea. And it'll be lighter, and we're gonna have a ship that sails really strongly, and we're gonna have a supersonic type of a plane that is able to just soar way beyond, go past the sound barrier. That's what pioneers are looking for. That's what God says. I believe in you, but you gotta humble yourself, and I'll help you. Don't wait. If we're humbling ourselves now in an area where we could have humbled ourselves a year ago, Repent of that instead of making excuses, saying, well, I just where my process is. I'm telling you now, God wants us to go much lower and much faster in the lower. I asked Carly to print off a copy of this book for each one of you as a family. So if you got six people in your family, you get one. If you have one people in your group, yes, you get one, okay? So if you live under the same household and you're a family, you know what I'm talking about, you get one. And you know what this is? Something that we thought was really important 20 years ago or 15 years ago, I don't even remember, honestly. And this is a book, and it's called Visions Beyond the Veil, okay? And this is, you know who Roland and Heidi are, okay? Roland and Heidi Baker's, Roland's grandfather, H.A. Baker, wrote this. And so they said, just go ahead and reproduce this. Nobody cares. I don't. But this is filled with dynamite. And this is what God has for those who are really low and hungry in the way that God wants to do it. But I'm telling you, living in the West with all the stuff that we think we have to do and line up is almost laughable when you read this. Because these are little children who are going to heaven, responding to the Holy Spirit. They're weeping and crying before the Lord. And they're not just trying to get their moms and dads' attention, because they don't have any, they're orphans, okay? They're listening to the Spirit of God, and this is for us to model for these little people. And there may be a day where these little ones come up here, and they're on their faces repenting before the Lord, and we're going, wow, I wonder what's happening. May we be the ones who lead this. Wouldn't that be great? If not, the Lord will go to the little people. But we really have to get rid of our pride, honestly. Pride, pride, pride. Kill it dead. Let that be what you go after more than anything. More than weight loss, more than sleep, more than getting rid of emotional issues, more than anything. Go after pride, and God will just change you and me forever and ever and ever. So everybody, raise your hand if you didn't get one yet. Everybody has one. You'll love it. You won't be able to put it down. Okay, this happened in China, in Tibet, in China area, somewhere in the Tibetan area, out near Kunming, where we were, and then I think in the hills of Tibet also. But H.A. Baker I found this out recently, and it might be in here. I haven't finished the whole thing again. I read it in the past, and some of our people have it in their archives somewhere. But what he did, and you might even want to read it out loud to some of your kids, but he would, now listen to this, guys. He would get up in the morning, he'd pray in tongues for 2 hours, he'd walk for 12 hours from village to village up in the hillside outside in China somewhere, and he would just share the gospel, and he kind of came upon this, he put this children's home together, you can read about that, and God just showed up in such a profound way where these kids were experiencing heaven, tastes of hell, tastes of it, visions, dreams, complete outpouring of the Holy Ghost, and that was his grandfather. That was part of his legacy, okay? And so he wants us to have all of, the Lord wants all of us to be able to learn from some other place where people didn't have anything, but they had Jesus, and they went low, and God showed up. So may you be encouraged by having this, and mark it up, read it to your kids, let them dream. Just let them dream out loud. Okay, we've had 2 weeks of God Connect. Started something without having a group together, asking for help. I'm still asking for help. We need you. And some of you have said yes. We need more of you, especially with our team going to Brazil. So please come up when you feel you have heard that you can step into something. Peter said he wasn't called. I think he was talking about maybe cleaning bathrooms or something, you know, because that's part of our calling is to step low and just serve, right? It is part of our calling. But in terms of taking the gospel to the nations, that's probably what you were talking about. But I think this will just really be a jump start. And all the Brazil people can bring theirs too. Put it in your bag and bring it. Or Troy, you can figure that out. But I just want to say that this is something really cool, and God Connect has been amazing. There was someone that put a pretty nice post on my Facebook page. I encourage you to go and read it. I didn't write it. It's cool. Somebody who was visiting here. It was like, wow, that's what they perceived. But it was a good perception because it was true. So if you want to come and be part of that, that would be just awesome. These little guys and girls, man, oh man, just to see what God's doing in them, it excites me so much. Part of going to Brazil is, for me, it's hard because I want to be here for God Connect, for the rest of you too, but I want to be here. Isn't that nuts? I do, because that's what I want to do. So if you want to come and be in there, that would be awesome. Is there anybody who was there that was just so, so touched this week? I didn't ask anybody. Anybody wants to share something like really amazing that they felt? If not, we'll move on. Alrighty then. Tiana.
I was up here on the stage and just looking down, and it was just amazing to watch the children, just how they stepped into everything. But the thing that really touched me was up here on stage when Gabriel was, Jamie was kind of sitting down and had Gabriel with her, and he was singing into the microphone. And that really touched me because it was just an example of what God wants to do in this body with God Connect, because we have all of these people that have children. Some of them are ours, some of them aren't ours, but the Lord has everything that he's poured out into us, he has for them too. And it was just an example of like the passing of the torch of Jamie is an amazing worship leader, and Gabriel is her son, and the Lord wants the same things even more for Gabriel than he has for Jamie, and that was just amazing to see. So,
and Jamie's still in the trenches, okay? It's not like, well, we pass a torch and then we stop burning. No, we just burn brighter and we just keep passing that torch, which is what you mean, I'm sure. So we, you know, yeah. But we need to know that. It's not like, well, you know, I just hit that age, so I'm not burning anymore. Are you kidding me? We want to burn till Jesus comes. And it wants, that burning is supposed to be so powerful and so strong that multitudes will see you burning or hear you burning. It's like, wow, how else are we going to cover the world? It's got to happen. Amen. Okay. Well, we are going to release kids to Kingdom Land. They want to go. Yay! Josiah gets to go. Woohoo! Oh, and we're going to call you kids back because we need you guys to pray after you're finished. It's going to be a little shortened, okay? So teachers, when you get the word, come down here. We're going to pray for the team. Oh, okay. We'll do that at the end. Okay. We're going to show a slideshow from Winter Weekend, but we're going to do it a little bit differently because half of the people are leaving. It's like not good. But it was good. Anything you want to say about it right now? It was good. We'll hear about it later. All right. I'm so excited about this. Well, everybody got their their book. How fun is that? All right. I need my glasses. Can we put up a couple of those verses there for me, Andy? We'll put up the one that's most familiar to everybody. Luke 4, 18 and 19. Yeah, we got Jesus as Lord. Is that cool? With the leaf, did you notice that change of seasons? Kind of pick that up. Can I have that thing over here? Can somebody bring it up so I can put the Bible on it? Thanks. That's okay. Thanks, Spence. Thank you. Guys are a good team. Thanks, Denny. Just, yeah. Like that's good. I can put it down. Thank you. There's two passages that the Lord highlighted to me today, two very powerful passages, one that we bank our ministry on. So I just wanted to really highlight this. And it's on the back of any of our shirts from this past year. And it's Luke 4, 18 and 19. And we know what it is. If we don't, we need to. And we just want to thank God for this, because do you know that our call for Jesus is wrapped up in these verses? And that's why God gave that to us 21 years ago. He did. And he, you know, you'll hear a lot of people talk about that and go, oh, Luke 4, 18 and 19, Jesus was anointed, we are too. That's great, but God wants us to be able to demonstrate himself, demonstrate heaven, demonstrate every possible aspect of himself as his little anointed ones. He says we're the light. He is the light, capital L. But he says we're the light of the world. That always I've actually gotten in conversations with people who get really offended that anyone could possibly think that we are the light of the world. Even when you talk with them, it's like, you are not the light of the world. Well, I'm just trying to say what the scripture says here, capital L for Jesus, but we are his little lights. And it's not just little light, we're a big light because we carry a big God. So it's very important to think that way and to help our sons and daughters think that way. I think that the Lord is going to shake us up in this season way beyond what we think shaking looks like. You know, you really can't. You can't stay in a place even that we're in right now, which is really good. We have a good place, okay, in the spirit. But we can't stay here the way this is when we talk like we talk and we sing like we sing and we pray like we pray. And we say that we're hungry and we're going after things and we're going low and we're learning how to make better supernatural decisions. Or better decisions, I should say, supernaturally. Last night, I made a decision to listen to Pastor Bill's message. I was here last week. And I wanted to all week. I was really busy. And I really wanted to do that. And the Lord would not let me go to bed until I did that. He doesn't even know. It's like, so I started at midnight. And it was from the Lord. It's like, this is not too, so I have a good message today. This was God. He says, listen to this message. And I said, okay, what do you want to share with me? And I always love doing that anyway. But I'll be honest with you, I was a little tired last night. But his voice was prompting me. It's like, oh, this is exciting. So I started taking notes and writing down things that he was giving me. I'm going to pull this up over here. And it was kind of fun in the wee hours of the morning. And so I was reading some of the things, or writing down some of the things he was saying, and I thought to myself, that was a really good message. How does that affect me? Not just me as someone who's preaching today, but how does that really affect me in my life personally? And I was thinking about some of my decisions that I've been making in this season, and just asking God, so what do you think about all these? And he was just talking to me about my decision-making process. And I was thinking about all the aspects of this. And I'll look at you in a minute when I can find where I took these notes, somewhere in here. And what I felt was that the Lord was wanting to grow me up in the Spirit more than I am, and I feel that I'm a mature Christian, a mature believer, but he wants to really deepen that, which has always been my heart's cry. But he wants me to see that the type of life that I live is so exaggerated beyond where I am already, that there's just always a hunger inside of me, which is there, but he wants to fuel it. And I was so excited about that. It's like, oh, wow. I know I'm not in Pampers, and I know I'm not in pull-ups, and you know, I know that. I know I'm a mature woman. However, if we cannot see areas where the Lord wants to increase us, oh my gosh, how can we grow up even more? How can we become more like Jesus? So whether we've been a Christian for a year or 20 or 30 or 40 or more years or whatever it is, this has got to be the posture of our heart. This is the humility. And when we go back to square one, when we don't need to go back to square one, I just really believe God is saying it's time to stop going back to square one. Have square one so strong in your heart, kind of like on you know, the sidewalk square. Jesus is Lord. Okay, if he's Lord, then you will have grown 5, 10, 20 years or whatever. If you start to go back to square one, going, well, I'm just trying to get those basics down, I'm just trying to get that foundation down, then it might be needed if we can't seem to grow, but there might be another way of looking at it. There might be a way of humbling ourselves in a new and fresh way that will change everything in our life 5 years later, 10 years later, 20 years later. So when I took that picture of the sidewalk, I noticed right away the leaves that were there. I noticed the leaves. It's like, oh, you have leaves here. And it's not fall. Isn't that interesting? It's still winter, but it's 76 degrees. And there are leaves in the cracks. How weird is this? But that's what God had. And they were full. They were big, right? Big leaves. They weren't disintegrated. There was no snow covering them up or anything else like that, and they blew from somewhere. And so I said, God, this is really profound. You are trying to say something to me for my life as well as our body, and I just want to hear it all, and I want to go deeper with that, not just agree and go, wow, isn't that cool, nice memory, woohoo, but God, what do you want to do with that memory? Because I know Jesus is Lord of my life. You would say that too. But he's saying, you know what, when I'm completely Lord of your life in the areas that you think I'm just in process, in those areas you will have greater vision, greater insight, greater thanksgiving, greater praise, greater understanding, and you'll be willing to hear even more from heaven. So here I am as someone the Lord put right here. I didn't really ask for this. But as Pastor Bill said last week, here we are. And so if the words that I speak cannot be 100% received, there needs to be a really good question as to why. Why not? Not just received and go, oh, that was nice, but acted on. Because whenever the Lord is speaking through someone, that we must grab that, irregardless of anything in our mind, our will, and our emotions. We need to grab it, and we need to embrace it and act upon it. And that's what the Lord was reminding me. And I had this flashback, not just for when I wrote that thing in the cement, the wet cement, but also things in my life from that point on, how I got to, in the heart, saying Jesus is Lord when my kids were so little. And he really was just like, yes, everything to me still is. And where my life took me, and I never would have thought I'd be doing this, standing here, never at that time. It was the farthest thing. I wasn't even able to dream like that. I didn't get one from God. So I was just on fire for Jesus. And wow, no matter what it was, where you want me to go, what you want me to do, I don't care. I really don't care. I knew how to lay my little life down the best I knew how to do. And I called it my little life for me back then. And the Lord said, remember what I did then. And remember also the building blocks through difficulty, through persecution, through pain, through suffering, through all kinds of things where I have shaped and moved you in ways that will make you, because of me, unstoppable and unquenchable. It's like, Jesus, I'm not unstoppable. I'm just a wee person, and I'm not unquenchable. He says, but my spirit is. And if you allow my spirit to flow through you, people will be touched. People will be not just touched, but they'll be activated, and that's how we're going to take the world together. So a couple of things that I found that he said, Pastor Bill said, I would die without Holy Spirit to make decisions. He said those words, and I remember hearing those words, and I live with him, and I know what that means and what that looks like, and that's his real heart. I would die without the Holy Spirit to help me make decisions, to be my leader, so that I don't rely on my mind and my emotions. You know, that message last week about mind, will, and emotions and all of that is for all of us. And he's really, the Lord wants us to understand the soul and how we guard the soul, and we don't trust the Lord with our mind, will, and emotions. We don't, many times. And then those who maybe do get hammered. And so if that's you and you get hammered for it, for really trusting the Spirit of God, then count it all joy. And when others don't, count it all joy, because that still increases you in the soul. Yeah, that's a good word. I know that Pastor Bill said, immature, self-serving decisions hurt the body of Christ. We're to grow up, so no more baby. No more decisions on facts alone.
Now, that really bothers us who are smart. Three of our little grandkids were over yesterday for a while, and one of them, David, is just so cute, and he's very smart. And he was telling me about that and about his reading and the facts and all of that, and I love hearing it. And I said, that's just great. That's just so wonderful. But I said, you know, Papa and Grammy have good smarts and brains too, and I'm so glad, and so do your mom and dad and the other kids in the family. It's so good. We are so blessed. Aren't we blessed? Isn't that great? But do you know, having this intelligence means nothing without the wisdom of God? And he did, just stared at me. So let's go downstairs and play the guitar, and that's where we left that at that moment. But that's okay, because it's the truth. So lifting him up for how he reads and such, and we do that with our kids so that they feel significant, but without leading them to the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom, which Pastor Bill talked about last week, what good does it do? Because we all get to spend eternity with Jesus. He's not going to care how smart we are. He's not going to care what we built that was not with him in the center. He's just not going to care. He's not going to say, well, you did just a really good job as mom and dad. Way to go. He's looking at what you're doing to invest and impart, certainly in your children, but selfish decisions hurt the body of Christ. That's like a, oh, because that takes you out of your little family to look at the bigger picture. It's like, man, okay. So what does that look like, Jesus? We have to think about that. I sent an email to you guys a week or so ago, I think, and telling you we were going to have God Connect last Tuesday because we had some volunteers to take it. It wasn't planned. Pastor Bill's going to lead it on this Tuesday. God bless you. And some helpers, hopefully. And I sent an email with also a link to for a video clip for you guys, you ladies and gents, to watch. And probably with the nice weather, you just didn't have time. I get it. But please watch it. Please watch it, because it's really anointed. It doesn't talk too much about going to the world, but indirectly it does. Because if we can't start where we are and see how we affect the bigger picture in a really good way, it's an awesome message. Cynthia used it during mission training weekend. And how can we go to the world, really? So the mission team knows about that. We've been doing missions. I think Jesus laughs every time we say that. You're doing missions? Wow, cool. You're going to do a mission trip. Woo! Wow. You're going downtown. You're doing missions. And I think about that, and I think, Jesus, you don't laugh at us, but you smile because you are a mission. You are a mission. You are a mission. Missions. And so when I was putting this shirt on this morning, and I noticed the back has a big map of the world and Luke 4, 18 and 19 covering all of the continents, I was pretty excited about it again. Love that shirt. Love this shirt. Because I was thinking, Lord, we're not going to do missions. We're being triggered by one of our core values. You know what a core value is? Something foundational, something non-negotiable, something that signifies and demonstrates and marks who you are in heaven and hopefully on earth. And so one of our core values, and we're going to release what our core values are when it's all said and done, but one of them is to take the gospel of the nation, take the gospel of the kingdom to the nations and go to the poor, go to the ones who need Jesus. Well, you think, well, you know, in my business, that's a mission field right there. That's nice. But the Lord speaks to us very clearly in Matthew about how he looks at the poor. And so one of our core values from the very beginning was going to the poor. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And those also who are hungering and needing and desperate. So not just that we're humanitarian people, not that we're doing social work, but when we go release ourselves fully, then we go with a heart of, I want to impact the poor and the broken and the downtrodden as well as I can, because I want to see you bring revival to their hearts, revival to their land, and see it sustained. And if we have that in our hearts, which is really just the gospel, it's not a core value from Frontline. Wow, what a new thought. No, this is a foundational value. We never even heard or thought about that, the idea of core value, but that's what we saw in the scripture, and the Lord started developing that. It's like, yes. And then we're going to raise up those with that kind of yes. And that's what this is. We didn't even know it at the time. We didn't understand that when we got the house that Pastor Bill was talking about last week. You need to listen to it if you didn't. We're here or whatever from last week. And there's handouts on the website as well. I mean, come on. But God is saying that this needs to be so non-negotiable in your heart that you don't make excuses for what it means to go. When I married Pastor Bill, I didn't get it right away that the key is to go into all the world. That's my last name, it's Gokey. And I just like, I get that, makes sense. But when we decide what that looks like, instead of really partnering with the Spirit of God as one of our values in our life that is going to come up when we're faced with opportunities, we're going to not just put our schedule out there and say, well, Jesus, this is what I'm doing. I know this is a core value, but this is what I'm doing. Everything switches. The way that he speaks to us, the way that he leads us, he's wanting us to hear his voice, but he wants us to commune with him. That's not just to make a decision, but to hear his voice so that we're so filled up with him. All of our no's become yeses, okay? To anything, anything. I remember, so funny, after our family, my initial family split, you know that. My first spouse divorced me for someone else and left the kids and I together. Well, I had the kids. And I remember in that broken time, I remember saying to the Lord, this is my little life. I don't care what you do with it. If you want to take my kids and I and take me on the mission field, that's what I said, to him somewhere, I'll go. I don't know how I can do that, but I will do that. I want to do that. I want to go. I hadn't even been overseas yet when this happened. But the Lord never forgot that. It was so strong in my heart, and I wasn't looking for something to do. It was part of who I had become, and it wasn't coming from someone else saying, you need to do this. It was just this raging fire of you, Holy Spirit, in the midst of the deepest pain I've ever felt in my life. And it's like, I look back to that, and I thought about that when I saw Jesus is Lord on the sidewalk. And I started laughing, going, if you could see me now, you do see me now. A sent one right here. But this was his process and still is. And life, I would love to say, well, it was just a bowl of cherries after that. It wasn't. It was very difficult many times, filled with much more persecution, much more pain. But the Lord was saying, do you still believe I'm Lord? Do you still trust me? Do you still want me more than anything? More than even your children? More than your spouse or lack thereof? More than. And it's like that was the communion that I had with him during that time. It didn't just get me through a hard time. It changed me. And any time I took my eyes off that, the enemy came in and I did really stupid things. Because I'm a big fish in the sense of, come, I want to go to the nations. In that respect, little, okay, in the kingdom, but a big fish from the enemy's perspective. And the minute I missed or didn't have sight of that at all, the enemy came with like, boo! And I made really stupid choices that I still go, what the heck? But when because I really have been and was in love with Jesus, he pulled me because I said, Jesus, what? Something's wrong. Something's not right. Show me. And then he rescued me. It's like, whoa, scary how strong the enemy is. But so much bigger Jesus is. We really need to take some of these things that we hear so seriously and take them to the Lord and layer stuff down. Just lay it down. Just take it. I'm serious. Your house, lay it down. Lay your kids. Lay them down. I can't. Lay them down. Lay your spouse down. That's how we live. That's how we operate. And we're a very close couple because of it. Lay everything down. Just lay. And then you'll hear that still small voice. Well, you're free to do blah, blah, blah. But here's what's even better. We don't want to rob our spouse, our kids, our friends, our fiancés, our almost fiancés, whatever, of experiencing the kingdom, experiencing heaven, do we? No. Oh. Just lay it down. Just lay it down. And you know what will follow? I guarantee you, because I have them and I've had them, tears. Just like, oh my gosh, I didn't realize I was holding. Those are tears of, Jesus, I'm holding my job and my thoughts and my desires. I just, that you have to do it a different way because it makes more sense to me. Lay everything, even this. I have a strong one, and so does he. Everybody in here does. You guys are brilliant from Jesus. But lay it down. And then when you hear a Lance Wallnall talk or somebody else, and you go, yeah, you're going to, the humility that's birthed in you. I'm just not picking on Lance. I like him. But just saying, you're going to go, but where's Holy Spirit leading? But I like what he said about this. But where's the Holy Spirit leading that? Okay, in other words, Pastor Bill laid out the minefields here last week, which is cool. But what I thought was, hi guys, come on up. You guys are amazing. Are you guys going up now? We love you. Go ahead, it's okay. You can run, you can jump, you can smile. It's okay. Hi buddy. You too teach, it's awesome. But when he laid down these minefields, you know what I thought was really cool? Was that it's great to be able to go around them and go, oh, I didn't step in that one. But do you know what's even better? Is that we step back and we can see them and go, no. Because we're really, really laying down stuff. I don't know, do you guys get tired of hearing we need to die to self? I mean, we say that all the time. So I'm not going to say it, but I really think that there's something that God wants us to literally experience. Literally. Oh my gosh. When you read about these little kids, you're going to go, I want that. How'd that happen? Oh my gosh. Because God came in. He came in. He's here, but he's not here in the way that he can be here. He's going to be because he's working on each one of us, however that works. I don't know. I don't know when that's going to be, how that's going to be. I'm enjoying where he is now, but I want so much more of him. Don't you? Hi, Josh. Good to see you. You're welcome. This is a good day. Because God is really, he's poking, but he's such a good poker. He's poking. And you know what happens when you just poke? It's like, it's supposed to. So if it's not, if there's just a little hole, go let him come and just go. Big time. And it will change everything. You will see Jesus differently, and you'll see other people differently. You'll be able to love like Jesus loves. And when I saw little Braden here on Tuesday, I just cracked me up. That kid, they're all amazing. But he's, how old is he? Two? Three? He's two? He's just walking around like this. He was caught up. He didn't know what was going on. Okay, he was over here in Kingdom God Connect, but he was just, he's just loving everything. He didn't know why. Why am I loving this? This is just, wow, it's free. Wow, I don't know what freedom is. I can't even talk about it, but I'm free. I'm feeling free. My heart feels free. I'm even going to go like this. Somebody else is doing it. I can do that. Everything that we do, everything, is being modeled right to our little people. They're watching. And more than that, they're absorbing. It's not just eyeball, like, oh, well, I can do that too. It's they're actually sucking in a good way. Sometimes people try to suck the life right out of you. It's like, please, go get with Jesus. Okay? Just saying. But these little ones, they're just, you know, they're receiving from us. So if we're really not flowing in joy, I mean real joy, not let's do another fun thing. Every kid likes that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about joy. I mean unspeakable joy. That's a whole nother message. And peace, real unspeakable peace. And do you know what? That righteousness that we've been preaching about here, that's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, just Romans 14, 17, you know that that righteousness means prideless. Oh, no. Yes. Pride. Pride, the big P, you know, the pride word. That has no place with righteousness, none. And they're in order. So the joy will come as pride is smashed and pride is released from us. When we have pride in our hearts and lives, honestly, the Lord won't stop if he's Lord. He won't stop, and he is Lord. He will not stop in helping us see where pride exists. Pride is feeling sorry for ourselves. Pride is licking our wounds. Pride is not thinking we're good enough, not thinking that God is big enough, not thinking that this can be done. It's minimizing the Lord, and it's maximizing us in whatever way. And pride is ugly, and it's the opposite of righteousness. So we're not going to have this joy and peace with pride in there. You can kid yourself. You can have moments laying before the Lord, listening to a good teaching, go, oh, God, you're so good. But until that pride is sucked out, the real joy and the real peace is not manifesting the way God has intended. Those little kids in Adullam, which you'll read about, those little kids, like, Jesus, you're sucking pride out of him? What the heck? I don't understand. Pride is just the enemy of righteousness, right? So joy and peace will follow. Righteousness, peace, and joy. Let me say it in the right order. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So if we're not experiencing pride or peace and joy to the degree that he's saying, guess what? We're loaded with pride. Oh, man, does that hurt. It's like, ouch, it's true. Let me get on my face and weep before you because I don't want that to come between you and me, Lord. You're my love. You can read Song of Solomon as often as you want. And you can read it in the Passion Translation and just feel really good. But you've got something going on in your heart where there's pride. The Lord's saying, how long is it going to take until you realize that I want to pull stuff out so that you can really experience me not just in those moments, but in the moments where it seems to be most difficult. God designs it that way. He loves difficult people in our lives. He loves to put them there. And he loves to keep them there until they're not so difficult, until we can see them through eyes of Jesus and respond to them. I mean, respond. Respond looks like something where the other person will actually feel that you care and love them. I wrote something about that on Facebook. That's a good read. You should go and read it. It's pretty good. Holy Spirit told me to write it, and I did. Okay? It's called Lower Still. And you can't make someone feel loved. You can offer yourself. They can reject it. And people who have ought in their heart, they do. That's pride. It's like, oh. But this is what we want to lay down and let the Lord just take away from us, okay? So this core value, if we can put it up, I just want to show you so many other things I was going to say, but I think we'll go here. I didn't give this to Andy, I don't think, but I'm going to read it to you. He's going to put up the Matthew one, if you would. The core value, 2 Corinthians 11:3. And you look it up because it's not up here. You have to look it up. So listen. I am afraid. Now this is Paul. This is Nasby. I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, let me say it again, I am afraid, meaning concern, not real fear, but so concerned, so much concern as a papa over everybody, especially the Corinthians. I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds, let me say it again, your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. This is an anchor scripture. You want to get straight if you start getting whopper joggy? Go to that scripture. Hold on to it. Stay there. Sing it. Declare it. Decree it until you believe it. I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. You see, with the purity and simplicity of devotion to Christ, do you realize that you can make the craziest decisions? I made one to marry this man. It was pretty crazy at the time. He shared about it last week. It was definite love and faith. It may sound like, oh, that doesn't sound like a great thing. Oh, it was wonderful. But what came with that life was a huge challenge on many fronts. For me, for him, for our family. And we're still in that challenge. Thank you, Jesus, for that. What a blessing. But a big challenge. So I know that what God wants to have happen in me will happen as I remain, and my family, and trusting, as I remain so simple and pure to the devotion of Jesus Christ, no matter what it looks like, no matter what anyone thinks, no matter what anyone says, no matter what anyone does, except what I do ultimately, no matter what Pastor Bill says or does or doesn't do, okay? Righteousness, peace, and joy for me does not rest on what he does or doesn't do. I'm just blessed. I have a great husband. But it doesn't rest on what he does or doesn't do. It rests on the simplicity and devotion and purity of Christ, period. So when he prays for things that have come against me a lot, and he sees them in the spirit a lot, and I kind of know what they are, but he speaks them out, I so trust the Jesus in him that I can receive and that God helps me through minefields and shows me them more and more and gives me, you know, I'm stronger and stronger in that. And that's for you as well. Hope you ladies get a good guy like this, or those of you who have one. Good. Okay, so let me just have Matthew 25:31-40. I want to, before we pray for the mission team, I just want to get this out here. This is good, isn't it? I was reading in Matthew. Well, that's a big passage. You're going to do one line at a time? Or do. Let's see if we can get a passage up there. That would be good. Okay. 25, starting with, I think 14 is what I said, right? It's about the parable of the talents, and you know that, I love this in verse 14, it says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them." All right, and we know that to one he gave 5 talents, and to one he gave 2 talents, and one he gave 1 talent. Now, Andy, you can go back and forth, because I gave, some people like to read, so rather than, you know, me just say it to them, they like to see it up there as well. I have an explanation from the bottom of this scripture passage in this resource I have, and we can put that up. But I just want to read it to you or have you see it up there so that you can understand how important this is. Okay. It says, "A talent was originally a measure of weight. It came to be a very large," this is verse 15, "amount of money, likely in silver coinage. One talent represented 6,000 denarii, and denarius was a normal day's wage for a laborer." So that's a lot of money, isn't it? Okay, so the responsibility that God was giving through this parable to people who need to understand what Jesus is like, the kingdom of heaven, is very well explained here, because God says, you know something? I am one who releases you into the goodness that I've given you. 5, 2, or 1, whatever it would be. And this king, as a picture of heaven, wanted to see what people would do. And so he didn't want someone to misuse their responsibility for what was given to them. Now, each one of us has been given a measure of faith, but also, since Jesus has become Lord, have you grown? How many have grown since Jesus became Lord? Okay, everybody says yes, I hope. So that means that more has been given. So you're not with 1 or 2 or 5, maybe 10 denarii. Who knows? And God is saying, look what I've done. Look what I've released. Hey, Mary Pat, remember when you said Jesus is Lord when your kids were small? Look what's happened in your life since that time. Where have you gone backwards? Are you going backwards? That was my question to him. Am I? Am I going as forward, as fast with what I have? And what have I done with my talents? What have I done? What do you think, Jesus? What do you have to say about that? All right. So let me just keep reading here. This is really, really good. In verse 21, the Lord said to the one who had 5 talents, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Isn't that interesting? One way to experience righteousness, peace, and joy is to use what God's given you and not make excuses, not blame it on I have kids now, but to use everything that God's given you. I'm serious, because he talks to me, because, you know, your grandmother, and you've got this, and you've got that, and you've got this nation and that nation. And I'm saying, God, how can I be fruitful and multiply? I want to be fruitful and multiply. It's not just having kids. I'm not having kids right now. Okay, spiritual kids, yes. And I want to see them fruitful and multiply. And so, Lord, I want everything in my life to be fruitful and to multiply. So it's not just one way of looking at that scripture. This is fully for our hearts to say, Jesus, I want to be fruitful and I want to multiply. And wherever I've been short-sighted and said, well, I'm multiplying in my business and my kids like me, but over here, we need to change that, because the scripture is telling us. And that's where the joy will come. That's where the joy, the true joy of the Holy Ghost will come, because we will not be hoarding pride. We will come into a place of his peace, and the joy will overtake us. It just has to happen, because he designed it that way. So I love this passage of scripture. Ooh. Verse 24 says, then he would receive the 1 talent, this guy who buried it, and he said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you've not sown and gathering where you've not scattered seed. Now look at verse 25. And Candy, you're just keeping up with me up there, okay. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. Can you believe this? This is just like, hello, is this me? Ask yourself this. Verse 25. Oh, God, I was afraid, so I went and hid your talent that you gave me in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. It was an assumption of the way God is, an assumption of that Lord and Master. It was an assumption. It was a presumption of what we're supposed to do with what God's given us, and it was wrong. And this guy didn't win at all. He did not get what, you'll see, what God intended for him to get. This is a great parable. The Lord says, look what I've given you. What are you doing? Well, you know, I'm taking my time because I've got this over here. Really? What if you completely used all of the talents? Do you think what you think you have responsibility for wouldn't multiply intensely? We want to see our friends and our children and our grandchildren. I'm talking to my own water here. Really multiply and be fruitful. I've got to step in, jump in every way. If I'm loaded up with stuff that's hindering that, I'm a slow boat to China. I don't want to be a slow boat. I want to be a rocket just going off, going, shoo, Jesus, you've got these places for me. And I don't want to make excuses. These are the kinds of things that cause us to weep before the Lord and not stay as a, you know, a worm. You're not a worm at all. But get it out. The poison, is, it might make us cry. This is pride, man. Pride makes us go, oh no, Jesus, you're so big and so gracious and so loving. Look what you've given me. Look how I'm using that for your glory. Look, Jesus. He gives us this parable. And I'm telling you, this is right before, this is perfect before Resurrection Sunday, Easter, and all of that, because he's given all kinds of parables. Read that in Matthew. And then he starts telling his disciples after this, by the way, I'm going to the cross. It's like, whoa, what? But he has to get them to, hello, this thing is in the way. This mind is in the way. Your will is in the way. Okay? For my little kids and my little grandkids, because I'm a little person, and anybody who comes after that, they have to have the grace released and received. It's like, Jesus, release your grace, which I believe he's doing, and let them have the will to receive everything, the healthy will, the healthy mind, the healthy emotions, to be able to to do that, to receive what you've got there. It's like you've got this treasury. It's you. It's a deposit. Whoa, think of yourself in the way Jesus thinks of you, but don't stop there. Like, yeah, I'm royalty. Woo, what are you doing with the royalty? Come on. This is a stirring. This is a stirring for each one of us. I just love this passage. It just so excites me. Thank you, Jesus. The reward of further responsibility, first two servants, is contrasted by judgment upon the inactive and lazy servant in view of the day of reckoning. Faithful discharge of one's responsibility is required. I'm not reading the scripture here. I'm reading the footnote down below that Andy has. He can flip it back and forth if he can track with me here. It says, this need not be concluded as referring to the loss of one's justification, but may instead portray the forfeiting of one's reward for committed service in the kingdom, a loss of joy with weeping and gnashing of one's teeth, reflecting the remorse for lost opportunities. Oh my gosh. Now this is for, you know, obviously that's an extreme for people who just say, forget this, I'm living the world life. But the Lord said, I want to take the Egypt out of each one of us so we can be so fired up, so in love that every decision is for him. That's how we make our decisions. Just wild, isn't it? Okay. Verse 26. But the Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. Oh, Jesus. Come on, he was a nice guy. He tried. Wicked and lazy? I mean, these are Jesus' words, guys. Come on. This guy was trying, but it's not enough. I don't want laziness in my life. You knew, this is Jesus saying, you knew that I reap where I have not sown, and I gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming, I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. Oh man, what a bummer. So Jesus is actually telling people, telling us that the process, if we don't use our talents, or we actually allow that to be fruitful and multiply the way he says, in this season, with responsibilities, everything that we have, then we back up. We don't realize what we've had. It's not like he's coming in going, Troy, you slug, I'll take it away. It's not like that. It's just that Troy won't see, and Troy will be more prone to move more of a easier way of doing things. Or something that's just as hard or harder, but not what God's saying. He said, no, Troy, use what I've given you. It'll actually become easier over here with your family, with your finances, with your business, or whatever it would be. Easier in the sense that you'll know that I'm in it. Might not feel so easy. Oh my. But it's when we know Jesus is there, wow. Is this rich or what? Let me finish up here. It says, Okay, where are we? Did I read verse 27? I did. Oh, verse 29. For to everyone who has more, more will be given, and he will have abundance. Verse 29, let's look at it again. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. You see? That's the enemy. Takes away our drive, our will, our care, our emotion, our desire. It's like, I don't even really feel that or whatever. You know, our passion. Think about that. Think about that. Okay, now, Andy, put up word wealth. I gave you a screen. You got it up there? Good. Can you see that, word wealth? I was going to just read it to you, and I thought, I want you to see it. Look up here, guys. It says abundance, perseo, Strong's, in the Strong's Concordance, it says, to superabound, have in excess, greatly surpass, and excel. Now, these are Jesus' words. Look at verse 29. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. Oh, my goodness. To superabound, to have in excess, to greatly surpass and excel, the word shows the generosity of God's grace, giving assurance that faithful use of one's talents and gifts sets the stage for one's own advancement. Advancement with the things that you love, your family, your friends, the nations. But if, when we're really stepping into what God is releasing to the way he says it, not the way we say it. It's not based on our schedule. It's not based on our college courses. It's not based on man's way. Oh, I can feel the darts because I'm just telling you the truth. It's not. It's going to come from laid down to hear what God is saying about everything. Yeah, but work that out with him. I'm just telling you that abundance, this is what will come. This is what is promised. And this is to help us get this, guys. See that Jesus is bigger than we think. He's bigger. He is bigger. He promises this when we use everything that we have in the way that he says, and we don't put our boundaries around it. Is that cool? That wrecked me. I don't know about you. Okay, you may think, what does this have to do with our core value of going to the lost and the poor and the broken? Everything. Watch this. This is all tied in. I'm so excited about this. It says in verse 30, and cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness, or he'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Well, that hurts. 31, the Lord, you know, we're redeemed here. Now listen to this, though. The Son of Man, that's Jesus, he's going to judge the nations. So he's telling us, this is what's going to happen, but I'm calling all of you who hang out with me in the Song of Songs, Song of Solomon, and the Passion Version, and you're in love with me. Yes, I'm telling you, these are my words for what I want to do in a heart that is really in love. A heart that's in love with Jesus will be willing to lay everything and everybody down, everything. That's the truth. And then there will be a result so that he can come back. He wants things to happen. He wants us to build things. He wants works and pioneered things all over the world. He wants people to say yes to Jesus. He wants schools built. He wants to have all the things that we're involved with and more, much more. In Brazil, in Ghana, in Mozambique, he wants to have that building on the land in Mozambique that's on the sea. He wants that built. We've been told that we need to build this year so it's not taken away from the government. Oh, okay, I'm ready. Come on, Jesus. He's saying, go lower. Okay, so I say to you, go lower. I don't know what that means, but go lower. Go lower for you, really. And let's see what God does, because abundance belongs to us, okay? It belongs to us. But don't wait for somebody else. Use the talents. The talents precedes. The whole parable of the talents precedes this section. Now watch. Whoa. It's brilliant, Jesus. You're so brilliant. Verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. This is all read, all Jesus. 33, and he will set the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. 34, then the king will say to those on his right, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Verse 35, here we go. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. Now, from this on, I could have forgotten everything before that and just started with, come on, guys, we're going to go feed the poor. We're going to go to the poor in Brazil. No, there's a whole section that precedes that, which is why I wanted to read that. Okay, it's all in red, and it's just not broken up. So verse 35, when I was hungry and you gave me food, I was thirsty and you gave me drink, I was a stranger and you took me in, I was naked and you clothed me, I was sick and you visited me, I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, still Jesus here, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Now, 41 through 46 are just as strong. Read that. Okay? Because he just breaks it right down the middle. But he's saying, I really believe, those of you in my family who eat my flesh, drink my blood, who get this, you will be stirred up by Jesus to want to go and do these things because the parable of the talents came before. Look what Jesus has given to us here. Look what he's given. And he says, we don't want to take anything for granted because this is a new day. So it's not just like I get to go on a mission trip. This is the mission of Jesus with the talents. And he's saying, get this in your heart, and I will burn a holy, righteous fire. He brought you to this place for a reason. I didn't bring you. God did. But God's saying, this is a place that believes this. And we want people to believe Jesus. And that's why this is one of our core values. And I believe it's a core value for Christians. It's not radical. We say radical and people shut down. It's just normal for Jesus. It truly, this is normal Christianity. And this is in the last days. That's what he will bring somehow. Maybe it'll be through persecution. I don't know. I'm not Jesus. Whatever. I know what the end times say. But what he's going to do, I just want to continue to be so on fire, so in love, and not with anything stopping, that nothing is clouding me from developing this kind of heart for here and the nations, but not say, this is here, but forget nations. It just doesn't work that way, because Jesus said, I am going to gather the nations to me. We don't have to figure out how. We just need to say, here I am, and just lay down. Just like, here I am, take my little life. Because Jesus is Lord. Father, I just thank you for this time, and I thank you, Lord, that you've given a message here that's building. There's something building here, God. There's a raging fire building here, that's something that is unprecedented, that we've not seen. Maybe we felt tinges of it way back in the day. Remember when we were at the Goki house, and remember that. Remember when I was on a mission trip. Remember, remember, remember. That's good, God. But we're going to take that remembrance, and we're going to allow you to light a fire there and expand that for us who are brand new to that. Lord, you're going to light a fire because you don't do anything other than what's new to you. And I thank you, Lord, new to us through you, because you, there's nothing new under heaven, but new to us. And I thank you, God, that we praise you for that. And we look forward, Lord, to stop with any excuses. Then we lay ourselves down and we, Father, we give you our mind, our will, our emotions. We give you our bodies. We give you everything, Lord. As Lord of the harvest, Lord of all, God, that we would so understand this core value of going to the least of my brethren and that we do unto you. What that really looks like, God. It's not just going to a Bible study about the cross. It's not just hearing in class about Jesus and the resurrection. It's living it out. It's doing something even beyond getting some good information that makes us feel stronger and more passionate and we're nicer to our kids. God, no, there's something new that you're doing inside of us that is birthing an insatiable raw to be the pioneers that you've called us to be in this place, to go to the four corners of the earth, to do what you've called us to do, to take back any territory the enemy has taken from us, to go forward, God, to go forward with this crazy love for you, God, which is insatiable, the insatiable desire that can actually be filled by you alone. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You're so amazing. Thank you, Lord, that this fire is a passion that burns deep inside of any heart that's burning for you, God, and that you're burning up the chaff, as Pastor Bill said, but you're taking us into that hunger, that place of just wanting to be with you and experience you. But that will look like something to other people. Hey, they will feel it, they will see it, they will smell it, they will know it. They will receive it. Everything will come in relation to that, God. We thank you that as we wait, we go lower. And Father, we believe that everything will come. Oh, in due time, we thank you, God, for all the wealth of the nations, the wickedness of the nations, for that wealth to come into the kingdom so that we can do what you've called us to do. Because we have a passion, we have a vision, and we need it, God. We need it from you. We lay our jobs down, we lay our families down, we lay everything down because our significance is found in you to build the kingdom, to use our talents for the sake of the Lamb's reward that Jesus is coming to get. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy One. You're so gracious, God. Thank you for opening us up to receive this revelation today. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for a new sense of stirring. Let it be. Thank you, Jesus. Can somebody go get the kids from the front and the back? Hey! And then we're going to pray for the team and release you guys. Whoa. The team is leaving on Thursday. I'll be preaching here on Sunday. I'm not going to Brazil until the following Monday. And I'll be here next Sunday. Shay! Because the Lord said to stay. And you know what? He told me to stay for a couple things that are shifting. One of them is shifting, one is not. But in the shift came another blessing that I didn't see. He just told me, don't go until this time. Hey! So we have to hear what he's saying and then respond. It's so much fun. So much fun. Look at these little guys. What nations are they going to take? I don't know. They're going to be with us. You can guarantee it. No, I'm going to stay here. I'm not going. All right. You talk to Jesus. I'm not in charge of you. Pastor Bill's not in charge of you, but we give account for your lives to the Lord. We will, because he says, I want to speak to them and I want to use them to their full capacity. And that's going to be what we are responsible for as well as other things too. So we take it very seriously to love you into life as best we know how. So praise the Lord. So if we can have the show, the team come up here, that would be great. Mike, can you move this over there? Jesus. Is Justin here? Or was he with the kids? You're here now. You're going to love this message, Justin. Justin didn't hear any of this, but I got this email from this crazy man. And you don't have to go through the whole thing, but would you just share what the Lord put on your heart about going to Mo's? Okay. You don't have to go through the whole process today. Just go through. He told you to
Yeah.
Things out of the way. I'm gonna go.
Okay. So I have been praying into going to Mo's this year, and there was a pretty strong no. In the natural from for my boss and other things with lots of projects going on. And so I've been going back and forth, and I know it's always been in my heart. But this year I thought it was a little bit different. And so the day before, you know, a decision had to be made, before something had to, you know, advance, I was okay not going, but God is faithful and he does speak to us. And so he gave me a very clear dream that, you know, it's been a while since I've had any dream, but this one, it was very clear, and it was one that I couldn't dispute. I couldn't say, hey, this doesn't make sense. It was something that he knew that he needed to speak to me to get through, even through any fear I had or any doubt that this could work out. And in the dream specifically, I received, you know, a key, you know, with faith. And do you want me to get in the dream? But anyway, in the dream, there was a couple instances that were resisting against me actually flying on this plane. And it was cool because God gave the key for each one of those. And when I woke up the next morning, my circumstances didn't change. You know, there was still a no from my boss, but there was that faith that was put inside of me. And so now it completely changed my outlook. And even last week, I was extremely blessed. And everything just lined up with that. So there's still, you know, a little bit of a push, you know, a little bit of resistance, but I know that God's faithful, you know, to speak to each one of us individually, but also to put people around us, you know, godly counsel and this family around us to encourage us. And I know Troy's been really instrumental for me in that process. And each one of us, I mean, we got a team here looking out for each other. And so, yeah, I know he's doing a good work.
And, you know, he wasn't in here for the message, and you might not get a dream or a vision like that. And that's what he got, and he had a choice to respond, and that's really cool. So thank you for that. But when he hears the message, I think it'll even deepen things for him. But the idea is that the Lord spoke to him. So I believe the Lord is speaking to us, and whatever we've talked about today that touches you, and I think we need to let him. We need to go lower and let him speak, whatever that's going to look like. So, but I think today with the scriptures that God is unlocking some things in our heart. Oh, I'm excited. Thank you, Justin. That was really cool. Oh, look at this group. Wow. We're going to Brazil. Amen. All you kids are in here, big kids and little kids. And we ask you to just come up. Can you guys back up here? If you would come up so you're not a spectator, go stand in front of some of these people. Just spread out a little bit. We're going to ask you to lay hands on them, and we're going to pray over them. And I believe that you're going to hear from heaven and speak what God gives you. So little children, big children, come on up. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Just go find someone to pray over. Go find someone you can. If you can't get in there, little children, you can go touch their feet. Go find someone. Hey, guys, can you look around, big people, and help the little ones feel part of this? Draw them in. Wait, all you wonderful prayer warriors. We have little children here also. Okay? Yeah, Josh, you can go find a place. There you go, hon. Hey, buddy. Hi. Yeah. He's over here. Here's Papa. Okay. Everybody find someone? Hey, Sethers. All right, we're going to pray. Just put your hand on people, and we're believing that God's going to do something collective here today. Father, I just thank you for this brilliant team, brilliant in things of the Spirit, God, brilliant in mind, will, and emotions, brilliant in physical stamina, strong bodies, strong minds, strong wills, strong emotions that are under the guise of you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for each one right now. Thank you, Lord, that they are going as sent ones. They are going as ones who are going lower and to receive everything that you have, and that you, Father, are exalting, lifting them up, because he who humbles himself will be exalted. So we thank you, Lord God, for the humility on this team. We thank you, Father, that there will be a new breaking on this team, a good breaking in the spirit for here and also for Brazil. And just thank you, Father, that everything that you have preordained from heaven shall come to pass. Lord, we know that you're calling us to go into the deepest, darkest places. You're calling us, God, to do that. So, Father, we just thank you for each life represented here. Each one is carrying you, Holy Ghost. You are so powerful. You are so strong. And each one praying over each person is carrying the Holy Spirit. We're trusting and believing. And those, Father, who are able to impart more of your life to them, just receive it in yourself and give it away. Father, I thank you for an atomic explosion of power and fire and glory in Jesus' name over this body right now. Just pray out, guys. This is not time to be silent. This is a time to let your voices be heard by the people around you. And heaven's rejoicing that we're coming into agreement with what heaven says about this team, going into the highways and byways, going in Matthew 25, going with the core value of heart, sacrificing to be able to say yes to you, Jesus, overwhelmingly saying, I lay myself down for you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We lift them up. We overwhelm them with your goodness. We thank you for the power of the Spirit of God coming right now in each one. Right now, receive a new blast of fire. Fire of the Holy Ghost. Fire of the Holy Ghost. Fire of the Holy Ghost on each one of you. From the top of your head to the soles of your feet, receive that impartation. Receive the help. Receive the release. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. You are so amazing. Thank you, God. Overwhelm them with your goodness and your grace and your mercy. Father, I thank you that they will be living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to you, which is their reasonable act of worship and service, that they're not conformed to this world, but they're transformed by the renewing of their minds, that they would know what that good and perfect sacrifice is. Thank you, Lord, for love reigning in their lives right now. Let it be. 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 Now, Brazil team, you do this. You put your hands on the people around you, Brazil team. Open your eyes. Look at the people around you. Put your hands on them. And you start praying out for the ones. So, Stephanie, you've got several around you. You start praying with the fire of the Holy Ghost for the people around you. All of them, with power and authority, who you are in Jesus. No difference between here at Frontline and when you go to Cidade de Deus. The Lord says, this is the time. Release what you have. Release who you are. Release over them right now. Release over them, Brazil team. Release over every person right now, that there will be a great exchange. The Lord told me to do this. We don't typically do this, but he said, do it. Watch what I do. I'm going to explode in power, explode in authority. Let the sweep of the holy fire of God come through this place in Jesus' name. Those Brazil people, open your eyes. Brazil team, there's other people. Open your eyes and look at them. There's other ones around you. Look at the ones who are around you that are standing in front of you, that are not just touching you. Please listen to my directive, Brazil team. Open your eyes and look at the ones that are attached to your fire, not just the ones in front. There's other ones. Look to them and fire and pray over them right now. Pray over them now. There's other ones. Other ones. Let it be felt and let it be seen. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Come on. Come on. If you're filled with fire, Brazil team, come on. Go after these guys. Let's go. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Choke. Thank you, Jesus. That's it. Come on. Now move out of your circle and get the other ones around you. Brazil team, get the other ones around you. Come on. Move out of your circle. Brazil team, move out of your circle. You're going to hear it in Brazil. Hear it now. Move out of your circle and go after the ones. There's about four or five or six or more around you. Go after them in Jesus' name. Pray over them. Release the fire of God. Release the holy grace. Release everything that heaven is giving. Thank you, Jesus. 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 More, more. Okay, now go to some other people, Brazil team. Move out of your circle. Come on, move out of your circle. Look around. There's other people. Just imagine that you're in a favela and there's lots of people. Move around. Go pray over them. Lay your hands on them. There's an anointing for this. That's what the Lord's telling me. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Shay, shakaraba. Harababa, shikarababa, soko. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Light this one on fire, Jesus. Breakthrough for you. You need breakthrough. The Lord says, I'm going to break this off of you in Jesus' name, and you are filled up with the fire and power of God. He says, I have called you as a radical laid down lover. Look in my eyes. And the Lord says, I bring freedom to you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Overwhelm her right now. Jay. Whoa. Thank you, Jesus. Carly. For her. Shikara bababa, shikara bababa, sokoriende, shakara bababa, sandata, shakara baba, ota shindata, sokorienda, shiroba bababa, okokara mama, sarayende, shiroba bobobobo, sande, shiroba baba, sekira bashi. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Just keep coming. You're so good. You're so good. Thank you, Lord. Come in your mighty wave of fire and power and presence. Thank you, Jesus. Come. Thank you, Jesus. Brenda, put your hand. There you go. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Oh, thank you, Jesus. Mmm. Sha! Shakaraba. Hurabababababa. Mmm. Mmm. Thank you, Jesus. Right now, fire of God, you come. Come. Come in power. Shakara baba, sukura mama. Oh, karaba, shikara baba, more, more.